Okay. First of all, I want to know what your role was in the Newton steel strike.
What was what?
What was your role? What did you have to do?
All of the city police mm-hmm. were gathered together in one bunch mm-hmm. to defend the city against these strike breakers coming in from Detroit. Mm-hmm. Some of them had guns. Mm. So the mayor called on the American Legion mm-hmm. for volunteers for police duty.
So you were part of the American Legion?
And I volunteered. Mm-hmm. And they assigned me to the courthouse with two other volunteers mm-hmm. to protect the courthouse
oh. mm-hmm.
in case they attacked downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't get that bad.
They didn't get that far, no. Hmm. So you were the police then? Part
yes.
of the police.
Okay. And they issued each one of us those clubs.
Oh, the clubs.
Riot clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we each carried our own pistols.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to use them?
Didn't have to use them, thank goodness.
Well, that's good, yes.
But the state police stopped a lot of their cars coming in from Detroit,
mm-hmm.
stopped on this side of Flat Rock,
mm-hmm.
and searched the cars and found guns and some.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me stop this, make sure it's working. Okay, do you know anything about the workers in this steel strike? Were you familiar with any of them?
No, because these were outsiders.
That worked right in the steel plant?
No. They were outsiders.
Oh.
They weren't local men.
Mm-hmm. How about the workers in the plant?
I knew a lot of the workers.
Were they from Monroe, or were they from someplace else?
Well, the workers lived in Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
They came here, most of them, from Ohio.
From Ohio. Newton Falls, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were they part of any racial groups or ethnic groups?
No.
No? Nothing like that. Religions or neighborhoods? Did they come from a specific religion, maybe?
No.
No? Nothing special about them? Just
no.
From Newton Falls? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know anything about the work in there? How many hours they worked or their wages?
I don't remember their wages, but they worked about 10 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
same as I did.
Mm-hmm. So they worked hard, probably, right?
That was a standard in those days.
Mm-hmm.
10 hours a day.
10 hours a day. Do you know anything about how they related to the management?
I was so acquainted with so many of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no friction.
None at all.
With the management.
Mm-hmm. So then what was the strike all about?
The outsiders tried to force the local employees to join their union.
Mm-hmm.
And the local employees did not accept it.
They didn't want it?
No.
So that's what they were striking about?
So the outsiders were coming to cut off the plant
mm-hmm.
so that the workers could not get to the plant
mm-hmm.
until they joined the union.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever join the union? Did they ever join the union?
No.
No.
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge. Hmm. So then the strike had worked?
It didn't work.
No. Hmm. Do you know how important the plant was to Monroe? Was it a...
Yes, it was very important.
Economic-wise?
And that was... the fact that that plant came to Monroe in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
was one of the reasons I came to Monroe
oh.
to enter business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought the city of Monroe was going to grow.
Mm-hmm. So where did you come from?
Oxford, Michigan.
Oxford. Mm-hmm. And what did you do when you first came here?
I bought an insurance agency.
This one,
yes.
Right? You've been working in that ever since that?
I took over.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1958,
mm-hmm.
we started that business in July 1st, and August 28th, I believe it was, Wall Street crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Just 3 months after I came to Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the start of the big depression.
Hmm, yeah.
And I suffered, same as every other business.
Yes. Does the strike have any kind of impact today? Do you see any signs of it left?
No.
Nothing? Nobody? No. Not too many people remember it?
I have tried to contact a lot of people who are still living that were involved at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Were members of the crew of Newton Steel. Most of them have died.
Yes.
I've talked with the widows of some of them that are still living.
Mm-hmm.
I have one man I called yesterday who was an employee at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And told him that I would like to give his name to you so you could call him.
Okay.
So I will do that.
Okay, when we're done here. Okay?
Hmm?
I said, when we're done here, we can do that,
mm-hmm.
Okay? What were your feelings about what happened at the steel strike?
I was not in sympathy with that kind of strike breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to organize a union.
Mm-hmm.
Unions are necessary. But sometimes they get beyond what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I'm not in favor of that.
No, that's true. Can you kind of tell me what happened maybe that whole week, what was going on before the strike and up to the strike?
There was nothing different.
The people in the city were all the same?
Yes.
Going through their daily lives?
Mm-hmm.
How about on the day that happened? Was there a lot of excitement in the city or anything?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about some of the excitement? What people were...
Mental excitement.
Oh, that's true, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, you said you were a policeman at the courthouse, right?
Yes.
What did you have to do, just guard the places?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Patrol the outside of the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Then you never got near the plant at all? You never got right near the plant where they had the road closed?
No, because I was assigned to that position.
Mm-hmm.
And other volunteers were assigned to different positions around town.
Mm-hmm.
Especially public places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Down by the, it's right where the Ford plant is today, right?
That's right.
Okay, they had the road closed.
Yes.
Why was that?
To prevent employees and other people getting to the plant.
Because they didn't want them working while they were striking.
They had it blockaded with their automobiles.
Mm-hmm. And what happened when they were supposed to, weren't they supposed to break the strike line? Go through
it? The police, and I understand with the assistance of some of the volunteers, tipped those automobiles into the river to open up the highway.
Wow. Why did they do that, did they say?
Well, to open up the street so that people could get to the plant.
Mm-hmm. Did they finally get up to the plant?
Yes. So the strikers, or the strike breakers, lost their cause.
Mm-hmm. And then they got up to the plant.
They didn't. No, the strike breakers didn't.
No, but
the employees did.
The employees did, okay. And then didn't they go to Detroit?
Back to Detroit.
Or Lansing?
Well, wherever they came from.
And ask for government, from the help from the governor, right?
Who?
The people from Monroe here. Like the mayor and that.
I'm not familiar with that.
You don't remember? Well, we had it. Mr. DeVries talked about it.
Oh, is that
right? Do you know anything about the mayor at the time? What was he like?
Who?
The mayor, Mr. Nags.
He was a good mayor.
Mm-hmm. Was he in favor of the strike?
No.
No.
Not that kind of attitude and action.
Mm-hmm.
It was criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Taking charge of the city by force.
Mm-hmm. So he tried to stop it, in other words.
That's right.
Okay. How about the police chief? Jess Fisher?
He was the same opinion.
He didn't want
the
strike.
He wanted to keep peace.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what can you tell me a little bit more about your life, maybe?
I have written an article about my life. It was read to the No Exchange Club.
This one, isn't it?
5 years ago.
Right. Mr. DeVries gave it to me to read.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So you came from up north then, right?
Yes.
Where was that from?
I was born in the Pine Forest of northern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little settlement, and I was surrounded by lumber camps.
Mm-hmm. Did you work in the lumber camps?
No, I was born there.
Born there.
And my father was railroad agent.
Mm-hmm.
And owned the only store in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which catered largely to the lumber camps.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother ran the store while my father was at the depot.
Mm-hmm.
But after I was born, my mother had extra duties to do.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so he sold the store and resigned his job and moved farther south.
Mm-hmm. And he took all of you with him? He took all of you with him when he moved south?
I was the only one.
Oh,
only
just
child.
You. Mm-hmm. And what did he do down south?
Became a bookkeeper for the Henry Wallace Company at Bayport.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever come to Monroe and work in the insurance agency?
Oh, no.
No.
He had his own business in Oxford, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. You were in the shoe business at one time, too, weren't you?
In the what?
Shoe business?
Yes.
Shoe store?
Yes.
How did you get into that?
Well, my father and I thought that the town needed a shoe store.
Mm-hmm.
But after a couple of years, we found that the town was not big enough to support a shoe store.
Mm-hmm.
So we sold out to a man who operated a shoe repair shop, as well as selling shoes.
Mm-hmm. So then what did you do?
Went to the Detroit Oxford Gravel and Stone Company, located at Oxford,
mm-hmm.
of which my father was president and manager, and became superintendent of operations,
mm-hmm.
production.
Mm-hmm. So in what year did you finally come in Monroe?
1929.
And then that's when the Depression
hit. Yes.
What was it like during the Depression around here?
I was walking across Washington Street one day with another businessman, and we compared the amount of money we had.
Mm-hmm.
And between the two of us, we had less than $3.
Oh, no.
Because the banks were closed.
Uh-huh.
Check accounts were no good.
Mm. And that hurt the insurance business then, right?
Oh, indeed. And the Newton Steel plant closed down.
They closed during the Depression?
Mm-hmm.
For how long?
Forever. Never opened again.
Then how did the steel strike begin? Steel strike was after the Depression, wasn't it?
Well, it was later in the Depression when they closed. It was after that strike.
Oh, okay. When did the...
In the 30s.
When did the steel strike, or the steel plant, close?
I don't have that information with me at present.
Yeah. Do you know why it closed? Was it due to the Depression?
Due to the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, their plant became obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Newer plants had more modern machinery and methods.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't compete.
Yeah.
So they closed down.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than modernizing their plant right during the Depression.
Did they move somewhere else? To a different city?
No, they just closed down.
Just closed down altogether.
Business.
Back to the labor unions, you said you don't know if it, you don't think it ever got into the steel plant?
Not to my knowledge and memory. That was so long ago.
Yes.
I've forgotten a lot of details.
Were there two unions now? The one that the steel plant had and then the CIO?
I don't recall.
You don't know anything?
No, but that employee, that old employee, could probably give a lot of information of that nature.
Of the steel plant, or the steel strike.
He said to call him before you came.
Okay. Still got about 15 minutes here. I don't know what to say. Do you remember anything about the major characters in the steel plant? The major characters in the steel plant.
I knew a lot of the foremen and executives because I carried their insurance.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I became friends of them. Some of them belonged to the same bridge party I did. But they're all dead now.
Yeah.
I'm 91. I'm one of the survivors.
What did the foremen in that, what did they think of the steel strike?
They, most of them, were not in favor of that kind of forming a union.
Was anybody in favor of it?
Not that I recall.
Who wanted the union in then? Was it the...
The managers of the union wanted to increase their membership.
So they're the ones that had wanted it?
Yes.
But none of the workers were... Any of them were in favor of it?
I do not have that information of what percentage wanted.
Yeah.
There was evidently it was not enough to get.
There was an election in town. Do you remember anything about that? About if they should stay on strike or not?
I don't recall.
You don't remember anything?
If it was, it was at the plant.
The election was at the plant?
It would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no knowledge of what was done that way.
Mm-hmm. And you said there was no trouble at all by the courthouse where you were guarding there?
Not a bit.
Nothing at all.
All peaceful.
Mm-hmm. That was cool. You said you're working on pictures from Ireland in there. You were in Ireland during World War I?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Our destroyer was based in the southern part of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got leave, shore leave they call it, I would travel.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of Ireland.
What were some of the things you saw?
One day, or one time, I had a 48-hour leave. So I went to Lakes of Killarney. And you would have to read my notes to get the details.
Yeah. So then,
I'll read them to you.
Okay. Then after World War II, or World War I, where were you at then?
Oxford, Michigan.
Oxford you went to?
Where my parents lived. My father was in business.
Is that where you met your wife? Or your girlfriend?
No. When I was, in 1914, I'd been out of high school 2 years. I went to Flint, Michigan as one-fourth owner and manager of the Builder Supply and Fuel Company. We manufactured concrete products. There were, my father was one of the stockholders besides me, and two bankers, one from Detroit and one from Bad Axe, Michigan. And we were very profitable. I had saved up a lot of money from our profits. Mm-hmm. And in April of 1917, war was declared
mm-hmm.
against Germany because they were sinking our ships.
Mm-hmm.
So in May, just a month later, I notified the other stockholders of our business that I was resigning my job as manager and enlisting in the Navy
mm-hmm.
for the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Mm-hmm. So is that where you met your wife in Flint?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've been married ever since then?
No.
No.
War broke out and I left for the war.
Mm-hmm.
But after I returned, after the war,
mm-hmm.
we were married.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her what beautiful country it was over there, especially Ireland and Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
I said, someday I'm going to take you back there.
Have you ever been back?
In 51 years, I kept my promise. In September of 1971, we went to the British Isles and made a tour.
Mm-hmm. Was it the same over there then?
It was practically the same with a few exceptions. In Scotland, in 1917 and 18, the country buildings were thatched roof.
Mm-hmm.
They had beautiful yards, gardens. But when we came back in 71, thatchery had gotten so expensive, they didn't use thatch roofs.
Mm-hmm.
And thatch roofs wore out. They had to be replaced occasionally. So they substituted corrugated metal, mm-hmm. steel. And most of them were rusted. They looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But the yards and the fences were just as beautiful as they were back there.
Mm-hmm. How about in Monroe? Have things changed over the years?
Oh, indeed. In 55 years, yes. It's gotten larger.
Mm-hmm.
We now have supermarkets. We didn't have any in those days.
Mm-hmm.
We had grocery stores, meat markets downtown.
But other things are different.
Indeed, very much.
What other things?
Well, manufacturing has changed. In those days, paper mills were the major occupation for
mm-hmm.
the people of Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Consolidated Paper Company, the biggest plant of that in the old days, closed up, gone to ruin. We have a few paper mills left, but not the way they used to be.
No. Remember anything else that was different?
I'd have to do some thinking. Schools are different.
Schools are different? How's that?
The method of teaching. They are now consolidated. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
The schools in those days were all local. Monroe schools were not connected with other outside schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I was appointed a committee years ago to visit these outside schools, these one-room schools out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we made the plans for consolidating them into central schools. And I was on the school board of Monroe
mm-hmm.
right at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got organized schools all through the county,
mm-hmm.
big schools, the one-room schools are out.
No, there aren't any more of those.
And from what I read in the papers, the method of education has changed.
How's that?
In the old days, what they call the 3 R's were primary.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've mixed in other things. Sports, we had a little bit in the old days, but not the way they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one principal of the school, the old Boyd School.
Yes, I remember where it was.
Do you?
Yeah, it's tore down now.
The principal was of this new type. She wanted to do things, bring in other things besides education of the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she asked the school board if she could take the fifth graders for a week's outing at one of the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the school board, because she was a principal, we said, all right, and we financed it. So they went to a camp out at one of the lakes, and after they came back, she reported what a wonderful institution that was in matter of learning.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids told their parents what actually happened, different things. And the parents told the members of the school board.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as she described it. They didn't learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of the boys set a farmer's wheat field on fire.
Oh, no.
But she was that type. She wanted to bring in other things rather than the basic education.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And we had other problems with her. She would, the superintendent of schools would tell the principals certain programs, and she would verbally agree with it, but do right the opposite. She'd do what she wanted to do.
What she wanted, yeah.
So when her contract expired, he did not renew the contract.
Mm.
And there was a big battle to him on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You showed me your certificate from the 8th grade. Did you go on to high school then?
Oh, yes.
In college, too?
I didn't go to college.
No college. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get the money at that time to go.
Mm-hmm.
My father offered to borrow money, send me to college, U of M. But I didn't want to go into debt.
Yeah.
So I have attended college several times on special subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Not a general course.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn about the insurance business? Did you know about anything about it when you came into it?
In 1917, we sold our gravel and stone business at Oxford to a $1 million corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And that left me without a job, and my father without one, so he said, let's go into the real estate business, which we did. And I suggested we also add insurance, which we did. And later, I told the field men of the companies we represented that I wanted a larger area.
Mm-hmm.
So if they knew of a real estate agent who wanted to retire, I'd be interested in buying his agency.
Mm-hmm.
One of them made a special trip to Oxford to tell me about Monroe. There was a real estate firm who had an insurance agency in connection with their real estate, and they wanted to sell the insurance agency.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to Monroe and checked them and bought it.
So you knew a little bit about it when you came here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested because the Newton Steel Company, it just nicely gotten started here.
And that
bringing
would give
people up here.
Would give you some business, though.
Yes, because I call on their employees who just come up here got the insurance business.
The employees who went to you for business, were they excited about the new steel plant?
They came up here?
Yes.
Yes, they were.
A lot of them came from Ohio, though, right?
Newton Falls, most of them in that area.
Was it a big change for them, moving in there?
Oh, yes. They were complete strangers here. And I was friendly with them. Introduced them to different businesses and people.
But they came because they needed the work?
Yes.